It is clearly stated in that passage that you must give an account. How much have you received this week, this past week? How much have you used? How much have you given? I know exactly how much you have received, for you see, we're not talking about money. We're talking about time. I know that you received 168 hours of time last week. How did you use it? Did you abuse any of it? How much of it did you give to the Lord's service? How much of it did you give to the service of others? Oh, it's important for us to think about money. I don't apologize when we talk about that, because God's Word does. Each one of us needs to realize that he'll have to give an account for the talents assigned to him, money-wise. And I would hope that all of us will constantly be aware of our budget plans and doing what we can to help. But sometimes, perhaps, folks, we get to thinking more in terms of money than we do time. And it seems that in the times in which we are living, that some have the idea, as long as I give some of my money, I don't really need to be involved. Sometimes in a community effort, people will say, well, I don't have the time to get involved, but I will make a donation. And I wonder sometimes if, at least subconsciously, we say to ourselves, I'll give of my money to the work of the church, but I don't have any time to give to the Lord's work. When the Bible says that we must give an account, Romans 14:12, and look to the day of judgment to stand before God and be judged according to the things that we've done in the body, I don't believe that it's limited to the subject of money. It may include that. But perhaps it involves our time just as much. You've heard all those cliches, time is money. Time is worth more than money. I have more time than money, or at least I hope so, and I'm sure there are times when that can be said by most of us and it be true. For just a few minutes this morning, let's think about the use of our time. I want you to leave with four words in mind: visualize, analyze, organize, and realize. First, think about that word, visualize. We need to stop and really put this into proper focus and think about life. We get so caught up sometimes in the busy affairs of life that we're heard to say, I just can't believe that another year has passed, or I can't believe that a month of this new year is almost gone. Where did the day go? We sometimes ask. And maybe it's because we do not stop and think about time. Visualize time. Think about it. In Exodus 21:9, in the old law, there was a principle given that if someone had injured or hurt another person and caused him to not to be able to function as he should, that the one who was responsible should pay for the loss of his time. We don't tend to think like that. Or if we cause somebody else to lose money, we'll say, oh, well, I'll make it up to you. But here under the old law, at least, he said that you are to pay for the loss of somebody's time. Doesn't that indicate that time is important? 1 Corinthians 4:2, we are admonished to be faithful stewards. Here again, I've used that passage many times in talking about money. I'm sure you have or heard it used. But how often do we use that in talking about time? Am I not to be a steward of my time as well as what money God may have entrusted to my use? I would suggest to you that you paint a mental image and try to stop, maybe step back just a little bit and look at life from the standpoint of time. The value of time needs to be understood. I have heard quotes from millionaires and billionaires who were facing death, who said, "I would give all that I have money-wise just to have a few more days time-wise." Isn't it a shame that we have to get to the point of looking death in the eye before we stop and think about the importance of time? The suggestion is, as we visualize time, is think. Think about the importance of time. Visualize it. Look at it. And then as you visualize it, analyze it. The word analyze means to take apart and look at something. Really, really look at what is involved. The Bible indicates that we ought to do that. There is a season for everything and a time to every purpose under heaven. So we're told in Ecclesiastes 3, verse 1. And the next 8 verses give that list of a time to this and a time and a time and a time. You remember the list. Seems to me that in that passage, he is suggesting that we need to examine the facts. That we need to look at the situation that is before us. And we need to plan ahead. When we're visualizing, maybe we need to think of tomorrow and the next day if it comes, as James 4, 14, 15 says, the Lord's will that we do these things and we plan to work and labor and have an income and whatever the situation is. But we need to analyze it and think about it. What is involved in my life? I need to examine the facts. I'm trying to get into the routine of walking 2 miles every morning. I try to get to the office about 7:15 or 7:30 and sort of look and get in my mind what I have planned for the day, and then I go into the activity center or when it's warmer outside and walk for 30 minutes. I can walk over 2 miles in 30 minutes. Most of you can't. And while I'm walking, usually with nobody there but just me, I try to think about what I need to do that day and sort of in my mind do a little bit of planning. I believe that that's analyzing, thinking about what needs to be done. And you know, one thing when we analyze time that is interesting is that this is the one way or the one area in life where all of us are equal. We don't have equal income. We don't have equal outgo. We may not have equal talents, abilities, or liabilities, or opportunities, or responsibilities. But there is one area where all of us are equal. Every last one of us who's here had 168 hours of time last week. And if God permits us to live this week, we'll have 168 hours of time this week. We do every week of the year except 2. 1 week we have 169, and 1 week we have 167. That's when we change from daylight to saving time and back. But 168 hours, you had that much this last week. I had that. You and I are exactly equal. There is equality of all when we begin to talk about time. And the analysis of it is really to take the whole and put it into the parts. How did you deal with your time this last week? Taking the whole, and God has given you that responsibility for the time that He has given to you. To take the whole and put it into the part. I suppose that when I think about all that is said on the subject of time, that what I hear said more than any other statement relative to time is, I don't have time to. I would guess that most of us have said that this past week. I don't have time to, and then we mention something. Why? Why do we not have time to do what we need to do? Could it be that we do not organize our time as we should? Ephesians 5:16 says, redeeming the time because the days are evil. And Colossians 4:5 says, walk in wisdom toward them that are without, redeeming the time. One of the newer versions on those verses says, taking advantage of the opportunities. Redeeming the time, taking advantage of the opportunities. I mentioned a moment ago that I tried to spend a little bit of time, and I use that word spend in quotation marks. It's really use instead of spend. But I try to spend some time at the first of each day thinking about what is to be done that day. In fact, I have found down through the years that if I will organize by a year and organize by a month and organize by a week, that it helps me to accomplish more than I would. I have a little calendar here that Judy says I cannot go to sleep if it's downstairs. I like to have it upstairs by my bed because I have my appointments in that little book. I am a strong believer in organizing. And I think it applies to the subject of time as much as anything. So many times we're like the little dog that is running along with his master. The master is going straight down the road, and the little dog's running over here and 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 over here, and he gets to the destination. His tongue is hanging out. He's out of breath, and he's traveled really exactly the same amount of distance from point to point that his master did. When you and I allow ourselves to just run around without any organization, not knowing what we're doing and how we're using our time, we usually will get to the end of the day and say, oh, I had so much more that I intended to do today, and I just did not have time to do it. Whereas, if we will stop and visualize and analyze, as we just said in the last few minutes, and then with that in mind, organize our time, we usually will get everything we need to have done before the day is over. Some of you don't believe that, but I challenge you to try it. Psalms 90, verse 12, and I think there's a misprint in the outline, says 2, it's verse 12, says, teach us to number our days. Is that not suggesting organization? Is that not suggesting if we're going to number our days, what we're going to do during these days, what we plan to do? Of course, back to James 4:14 and 15, taking into consideration, if the Lord will, always keeping that in mind, but planning ahead. A moment ago, when we were talking about analyzing, we said we need to put the whole into parts. In organizing, we need to bring those parts back to the whole. And we need to organize those activities that we have during the day and look at it as a whole to where we can really plan ahead and know what the next move is. Have you ever played checkers? A successful checker player knows at least 3 or 4 moves ahead what he's going to do. Now, I never could get involved in checkers to where I could win that much, but I understand the principle, and I appreciate the principle. Because, you see, when the fellow is moving this checker back here, he's already thinking about how he's going to wind up there in the corner, how he's going to trap his opponent, how he's going to win the game. A successful player knows at least 2 or 3 moves ahead what he plans to do, and usually he has an alternative, recognizing that the enemy or the opposite player may not always make the move that he had anticipated. He has an alternate plan. If the player moves this way, then he has another way to go. Don't you think that might be a pretty good way to organize our time? To know ahead what we plan to do for the next few days, a few weeks, a few months in general, and then have an alternative. There's a possibility that I might get sick. There's a possibility that some kind of a storm might come up in life. There's a possibility that something negative might happen that I had not really taken into consideration. All of this is involved in organizing our time. Let me share with you three words that have come to mean a great deal to me in the organization of time: must, should, and could. There are some things today, if God permits me to live, that I must do. I really must do. There are some things that I really should do. If I don't get them done, maybe I'll have another chance, but in order to keep my life going, I really should do those things. And then there are some things that I could do if I have time. It has been my experience that if I will take 15 minutes at the beginning of each day and either put on paper or paint a mental image and divide what I hope to get done that day into those three categories and do the must first, the shoulds second, and the coulds third, that I usually get all of them done. But if I don't do that, and I just run from one thing to another, and about the time I get about halfway through this, I think, you know, I was supposed to, so I drop that, and I run over here, and I do something over here, and I don't get through until I get a telephone call. And by the end of the day, if I'm not careful, I've got parts of several things and very little accomplished. It comes back to the idea of organize. Visualize, see what's there, what the needs are. Analyze, think about the importance of time and its use. And then organize the amount of time that God has given each one of us, being the same. And if we do, then I think we can realize in the sense of accomplishment. Now, the word realize could be a synonym to visualize, but I'm not using it in that way this morning. I'm using it in the way that we use the word that I realized a profit out of something that I invested, or I realized the success that I had envisioned relative to this particular situation. And I believe that you and I can realize. Life is as a tale that is told, Psalms 90, verse 9 says. And Hebrews 5, 12 says, when by reason of time you ought to be teachers, in other words, when time is past, you should have realized a level of development and a level of success. In that case, he says, that's not always the situation, because you may need to be taught again the first principles of the oracles of God, but get the principle in the first part of that verse. When by reason of time ye ought to be, that's the idea of realizing success in life. And being able to look back and see, I planned this, I wanted to do this, and I was able to accomplish it. Successful use. When we have successful use of our time and energy and all other factors in life, we not only can come to the end of life as Paul did, but in a sense, I think we can come to the end of each day and say with him, I have fought a good fight. I have finished the course. I've kept the faith. Therefore, the crown awaits. Maybe we need that more than just at the end of life. Maybe we need it at the end of each day. A fellow was visiting with a physician, going to spend the night with him. They were talking, and just before they were ready to retire, the physician said, excuse me a moment. Went over to his desk and took out some papers and did a little bit of work and came back, and he said, you may wonder what I was doing. He said, you see, I have a very serious heart condition. There is a possibility that I could not awaken when I go to sleep tonight. And I try to have my affairs in order every night. I try to make any notes that someone else would need or any decisions that need to be made every night before I go to bed, so that if I did not make it through the night, it would be easier for my wife and others to take care of the decisions that would have to be made. Don't you think, in a sense, that's the way each one of us ought to live every day? To where we realize during that day what we need to accomplish and that we have accomplished it, and we end the day with a feeling of assurance, not false assurance, but blessed assurance, that we've taken what God has given us and we have put forth effort to use it, not abuse it, to use it in the right way to serve others and serve God. The opposite of that is indicated in Jeremiah 8 and verse 20 when he said, "The harvest is past, the summer is ended, and we are not saved." That's the failure of time, the use of time. Harvest is past. We didn't do anything about it. The summer is ended. We didn't accomplish what we needed to accomplish. We're not all saved. We need to live in such a way that we can realize success. Visualize, analyze, organize, and realize. In a sense, it comes into a progression that is intended in those five blanks there by the conclusion. You might want to write in the word year, tomorrow, today, hour, and now. They planned ahead a year in advance in 2 Corinthians 9:2. Thinking about what we'll do on the morrow is indicated in James 4, 14 and 15. Today, if you will hear his voice, harden not your hearts as in the provocation, Hebrews 3, 15. He took them the same hour of the night and was baptized, Acts 16, 33. Behold, now is the accepted time, 2 Corinthians 6, verse 2. If the judgment were to be tomorrow or later today, would you be ready to give an account of the use of your time? Visualize it, analyze it, organize it, and then you can realize success and assurance in the right relationship with God. And all of this comes back to a statement that is made in 2 Corinthians 8, verse 5. I think this is the key to it. They first gave themselves to the Lord. If you'll give yourself to the Lord, your time, your money, everything will fit into place. Have you given yourself to the Lord? You've been baptized into Christ for the remission of sins. You've made public mistakes. Have you straightened those out? God expects us to give an account of our time. Think about it as together we stand and sing.